I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. As Russia relinquished Kherson, a Ukrainian official says some Russians have remained.
Serhiy Klan says officials understand some part of the Russians stayed, changed clothes, and could not cross over, and they're now scattered around the city of Kherson and on the right bank of the Dnipro. The number of these people, he says, is not precise. He adds then, they had dressed in civilian clothes and were possibly preparing some provocations in the city. Ukrainian intelligence has posted a Russian language statement on social media, urging Russian troops, if any were left in Kherson, to surrender because Ukrainian forces are entering the city. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Sources tell the AP Chris Magnus, the head of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, is being forced out of his job leading the nation's largest law enforcement agency as the number of illegal crossings rose to the highest level ever recorded in a fiscal year. I'm Ed Donahue.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Union leaders say momentum for organized labor in Wisconsin is growing after more than a decade of anti-union laws. Construction unions in particular are pushing for protections for non-members they say are being exploited. Mike Moen reports.
Wisconsin's union membership was down to nearly 8% last year, below the national average. But advocates say recent examples, such as the threat of a nurse's strike at UW Health, are a sign of hope. On construction sites, Bert Johnson of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters says they still want policymakers to take issues such as wage theft of immigrant workers more seriously.
We need to take developer accountability into the hands of those who make the laws. If the developers can't clean up their own house and ensure that these things don't happen, it is a public issue.
The council is amplifying these concerns after a sexual harassment incident and lingering wage theft problems tied to subcontractors in neighboring Minnesota. In Wisconsin, a wage theft task force created by Democratic Governor Tony Evers has developed recommendations, but political gridlock is seen as a roadblock for implementation. Johnson hopes the case of the Minnesota worker who reported being sexually assaulted while on the job sheds more light on the added dangers women face on construction sites.
There are many women in the construction industry that have faced harassment in the workplace.
Meanwhile, on the economic side, a recent report noted 15% of construction workers in Wisconsin did not have health insurance, more than twice the rate of all workers in the state. In 2011 and 2015, Republican policymakers in Wisconsin passed laws that were viewed as major obstacles for union activity. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And for Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk.
November 19th, 2022. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it must be time for This Week in Waukesha. I am your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, here in the NAMI building, right around the corner from Theodora Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor and celebrate our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And Calvin, we are live streaming Facebook, right? Excellent. Hello, Facebook world. And my guest this morning, and this has been a long time coming, we'd run into each other at the farmer's market, and we were broadcasting there, and we finally nailed down a date. Waukesha, please welcome senior planner from City of Waukesha, Jeff Fortin. Jeff, good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
It's going great. Can we hear Jeff okay, Calvin? Sound good to you? Excellent. Got a thumbs up from Calvin. And we're trying to get Calvin to talk more. He's just not having it, you know? But got a great smile. So this week, we want to begin by talking about, well, and I'm done talking about it. I know most of you are, but the verdict came in with regards to the case involving the events of last November 21st, 2021. And what I want to talk about was a very thoughtful email that went out from Dr. James Siebert, the superintendent of Waukesha Schools, and his the deputy superintendent, Dr. Joseph Cook. And I just want to read it real quick. Went out to the students and staff and their families. As the Waukesha Christmas Parade witness statements and sentencing concludes, this went out at Wednesday evening at 6:06 p.m. right after the verdict. We wanted to again acknowledge the trauma that our school and greater community has endured over the past year. We also wanted to accentuate the togetherness and resiliency that has resulted in helping us collectively become Waukesha strong as we approach the one-year anniversary of this horrific event. Should you need support as we continue to move forward together, our exceptional student services staff stands at the ready, as do our partners at Care Solace. If you or a family member is looking for help with mental health or substance use, Care Solace can quickly find treatment options matched to your needs, regardless of the circumstance. Care Solace's care navigation services are confidential and complimentary to our school district of Waukesha students, staff, and their families. I want to repeat, confidential and complimentary. Care Solace's team is available 24/7, 365, and can support you in any language. If you would like to use Care Solace to help you find a provider, please call 888-515-0595. That's 888-515-0595. Or visit their site, caresolace.com/S&Sam, D as in David, W. That's caresolace.com/SDW. And either search on your own or click book appointment. And can't emphasize this enough. Obviously, our hearts go out to the six who were killed and their families, as well as those who were critically injured. But to the hundreds that witnessed that and still may be experiencing any type of trauma, I please encourage you to take advantage of any of the mental health services that are on there. Mental health is a normal thing. Having good mental health should be available to everyone. And really, you know, and along this theme, you know, Jeff, the city's played a role, a big role, I believe, in the healing process. We have the Parade Memorial Commission. We have the vigil coming up on Monday. And you were talking about that before we started.
You expect a big turnout for that, correct?
Yeah, I think a lot of the community wants to come out. The timing of the verdict probably plays into that, but I think people really, you know, are still healing from this, and I think it's a good idea. I mean, I think, like I said, I think there'll be a huge turnout for this, and I think the parade will probably be the same way.
Sure. And then we mentioned, you know, the planning department had has had a role, even peripheral, with regards to this, I guess, overall healing process. Jennifer Andrews, the director of community development, serves on the Parade Memorial Commission, correct?
Yeah, and there were some city staff members in there, as well as victims' families, elected officials. So there's a wide variety of people there, and I know it was a really hard task to go through and pick these two memorials that are going in. But, yeah, so our role in our department has really been kind of on the periphery. Like I said, Jennifer serving that role last year in the aftermath of the parade. We did do a lot of, you know, assistance with trying to get the word out and helping businesses with their fundraising efforts for the Parade Memorial Fund, distribution of the blue lights. We have a leadership group at City Hall that we coordinated with, and they got all those blue lights out to the businesses who were happy enough to open up their doors to the community to come in and distribute those.
Sure.
We've also got the Public Art Committee, who reviewed the new mural that's going in Friedman Alley.
Okay. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the light bulbs, Jeff, because as aldermen, the council members were all tasked with going door to door and handing those out, and I definitely got out there. But I still have a pretty decent little stash left. And so what I'm going to do is on Monday, I'm going to drop them off here at the Walk Radio Studios, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. If you do not have a blue light bulb, please come by and get one. I'll leave it here in a box. So keep that in mind. And I've, you know, myself, our home and basically almost all the homes in our neighborhood still have the blue light bulbs. And we've had them on year round. And of course, we're asking everyone to do it again here on the anniversary coming up Monday. The vigil starts at 4:39 p.m. So, and then in other news this week, Jeff is a Waukesha South parent, and he's very proud of that. I think he's got a black shirt on underneath his sweater. And I know it's last week's news, but it's still really exciting to us, is that a South soccer mom named Sarah Rodriguez will be inaugurated as our next lieutenant governor this January. So congratulations to Sarah. And, you know, Jeff, what do you think that could mean for Waukesha and well, for South, but also for our city to have kind of a hometown hero, you know, in a pretty high role?
Yeah, it's always good when you can have, like, someone from your area to represent your area. Brings a little bit more attention to it. But also, when looking at things like legislation and policies, they're going to have a connection to Waukesha and kind of in the back of their mind thinking, you know, thinking about the people here when they're making decisions. So I think sure. It's always nice.
Yeah. Hey, and one more shout out for Waukesha South soccer. You know, another great year. They're one game away from going to state. Congratulations to Coach Billy Schwartz. But another recent accolade was announced this week. Their longtime goalkeeper, who I believe started as a freshman, Charlie Moroz, was named to the Classic 8's first team, all Classic 8 team. So congratulations to Charlie and his family on a great accolade. Couldn't have happened to a greater kid. Charlie will also be on he'll be playing on this year's varsity basketball team as they look to defend their Classic 8 championship. And Walk Radio and yours truly will be broadcasting those games. And Calvin will also be engineering from that here from the home office. So really excited about that. The first game is November 30th, so put that on your calendars. And we'll make sure we get the team schedule up on our Walk Radio website. So, Jeff, next week we have Small Business Saturday, and that's my favorite time. I'm not a Black Friday guy, but I'm a huge Small Business Saturday guy. And you want to start out? Well, I'll start it out. This morning I have a new Saturday trip. I go to Katrina Cafe for my coffee, and I met Jamie, one of the co-owners, another South graduate. And I got the coffee, and I also got the Churro Tres Leches cupcakes. And I got some enough for everybody here, including James Santel, who's always bringing or constantly bringing cannolis for morning cannolis. So I'm going to be urging Jim that maybe this Saturday show be called Morning Churro Tres Leches with James Santel. I think it has a nice ring to it. So we'll see what Jim says when he gets here. I know when he takes a bite of it, he may think very seriously about a one-day rebrand. So last night we had – my wife Melissa and I had a beautiful dinner at Casa Tequila next to Target. That was fantastic. And Our next stop along the way will have to be Albanese's. Joe, Albanese's will be sponsoring our coverage of the Memorial Christmas Parade. So, but Jeff, you're going to tell us what some of your favorite small business or businesses were.
Yeah, I mean, I've got quite a few. So
that's what, we got time. We got 4 minutes, according to Calvin, before the first break.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, we've got a lot of great restaurants. You know, I really like going. I like Tofty's, Mainstream. Yes. I really like Magellan's a lot because of their unique pizzas, and they've got like 56 craft beers. So that's one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah.
But then you look at places like, go into like Burlap and Lace, where it's this huge store, and it's all local. Locally owned, like almost mini businesses where that's they have fun. Like I little corners set up, and if you can find anything in there, it's great, especially great for something like Small Business Saturday, Christmas shopping. I know last year I did, got a few gifts from there, and you can find something for everybody there.
Sure.
So I like that. I like Plowshare. They've got a really good mission.
Oh, neat. Yeah. Great call for a trade.
Yeah. And then they've got a wide variety of things there. And then you have kind of some of the newer ones like Chef Pam's, which brought something that Waukesha hadn't seen before.
She's becoming the rising star here in downtown. Yeah, among a cast of great rising star business owners.
Yeah, and she went from a smaller space into a giant space, and then also keeps expanding what she's doing. Like today, she has her indoor farmer's market.
That's starting up. You know, and Norm Bruce was actually telling me about that. You know, they have one at their store, and he's actually excited about it because it's going to bring more people to downtown on a Saturday. Does not see it as competition, but a great compliment.
Yeah, and that's my plan for after this. So going over to Chef Pam's and checking it out. So, but yeah, and there's some all over the city. There's a lot of great small businesses. Yeah. And if you look at what happened last year in the parade, the people that rose up and helped the community and were distributing posters with QR codes for donating, that was the small businesses.
Sure. That was great. Yeah, as I say, as a planner, as a planning professional, that's got to make you excited to see someone like a Chef Pam and the Tofties with their unique concepts and continuing to grow your business. That kind of makes your life a little easier, right, in some ways?
Yeah, and it's a big focus.
Or opens up more possibilities?
Yeah, well, it's good for drawing more people downtown, you know, restaurants attract other restaurants. And we've actually brought in restaurateurs to see downtown. And some of our local restaurants have opened up their doors and actually brought them in and said, here's a great place to do business. They don't see them as competition. They see them as complementary. So the more restaurants you have, the more activity.
I agree. As a former restaurant operator, I couldn't agree more. So that's great.
Yeah, so I think that's great.
So, you know, I did a little Small Business Saturday shopping earlier. Yesterday I went to a downtown store here to get a Christmas present for my wife. Melissa, if you're listening, earmuffs. Just for like 30, I went over to Mary Jane's, which has some really great women's fashions there, some really fun stuff, and got something really cute from my wife. So I encourage her to check that out. And I got to talk to Mary, and she's got some exciting little things planned for Small Business Saturday. So put that on your list. Check that out among all these other great little spaces. And do you have a plan for Small Business Saturday next week, Jeff?
I'm sure we'll go out and check out a bunch of different stores. And then more from the city perspective, we run social media for downtown Waukesha, Facebook, Instagram, and downtownwaukesha.com.
Yeah.
And what we do is we really promote Small Business Saturday a lot on there. And so you'll see the upcoming week a bunch of posts about that.
Right.
And then we also are always trying to get, just trying to do anything we do to bring awareness to the businesses downtown, whether it's Small Business Saturday or any other time.
Sounds great. We have so much more to talk about with Jeff Fortin, Senior Planner for City of Waukesha, when This Week in Waukesha continues. Do not go away on this beautiful Saturday morning. Can you sing, Jeff? You have some music in you? No.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Snow showers likely at times today, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 24. Winds out of the west, 15 to 20 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Chance of snow showers, lows dip down to about 6 above. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 28. About an inch of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Jam. My good friend Paul Weller and the boys with In the City, one of my favorite jam songs. And I want to tell you, no, Jeff Morton's here to tell all of Waukesha about the Young Idea and this historic city that's just had a more youthful touch, vibrance, revitalization in probably the last 10 years. And you've had no small role in that with a lot of the work you've been doing. And before we jump into that, though, I want to talk about the social media aspect. Rebecca Peterson has taken the lead on that. And I remember when I was on the council, a lot of the focus was on the consumer social, which is important, obviously, Facebook and Twitter and the like. And I had petitioned hard that there's also the city post on LinkedIn, because, and I mentioned, Jeff Fortin posts actively on LinkedIn and gets great responses, and that it's not like you need 50,000 visits or likes. You could get 12 and they could be like, six of them could be like the top developers, you know, or like people that it's more of an. And so it's great. I think thanks in part to your efforts at the city and Rebecca's and the team that they've got a great presence on LinkedIn and telling the business world what's going on in our fair city.
Yeah, I think LinkedIn's been great. And also the responses you get on LinkedIn, so much different than like Facebook. You know? We'll post something on there that's positive on LinkedIn, and the comments are positive, or how can we share this in our community? And everybody else knows when you post on Facebook, you get a hodgepodge of things. So
yeah,
it's really good. You're meeting. And then you're also showing every developer is on there. Every real estate developer is on there. Business owners are on there. So you're kind of telling when you show positive things about your city, that's who's seeing it on there.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's great. And we were talking about Small Business Saturday next week. And the original plan, and I'm grateful to Jeff for his flexibility, is I was going to have Jeff come on next Saturday and really drum up Small Business Saturday. But we had to call an audible because Eric Teagues, who most of you know is one of the survivors of the Parade attack, in fact, was almost killed, very severely injured. And now he's deciding between colleges that have offered him scholarships for baseball, and he even was back playing for the Blackshirts last spring. The recovery was he's a true inspiration, so we're really proud to have Eric and his dad Don and maybe his mom Jessie on next week's show. But I figure this Saturday would probably be even better to talk about some of us this Saturday, because anything Jeff has to share, people can kind of put it in their plan of attack. So
yeah, I mean, I think as a city, we really have made an effort to go out and actually talk to businesses too. So every couple of weeks we're going to a business, we're recording video of them, so they're getting a free video, no cost to them, that we can use for publicity. We are finding out about why they chose Waukesha, if they're planning on expanding. The idea is we don't want them to be there at the last minute saying, I'm moving out of downtown because I can't find a space or because I have this concern. So we're trying to identify any business concerns ahead of time so we can work with the businesses and tailor our programs that we have at the city to actually benefit the businesses, because we've got quite a few programs
sure
aimed at small businesses, and we want to make sure that we're providing what they need.
Sure, sure. Yeah, because you mentioned, unfortunately, Danny Faustman, who was on our show last week, he had to close the guitar for like the cafe, but he still has the studio behind where he's doing the lessons, so that's still there. But you had mentioned that there's another concept that's coming in there pretty quickly. Did you guys have a hand in that, or is that just good free market capitalism?
The people that are doing that actually have another business in downtown. I think they the same landlord, and they saw the space. So we didn't really have a role in that, although we do try to connect them again with resources. Sure. The state of Wisconsin has their Main Street Bounce Back Grant. So if you have a vacant space, you can get up to $10,000 if you're a new business in a previously vacant space. So just yesterday, we were working with them on their Main Street Bounce Back application.
Right. I was looking at that actually pretty serious for my business, but I don't have a storefront and had it. And I've thought about ideas for renting space.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to talk about that offline.
Yeah, I feel like the radio station, we may have even done one for here, too. So.
Did you? Okay,
I think
great.
So, yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. And because, you know, Civic Media has made a big commitment to Waukesha and actually around the state. So we're really excited about that. That's terrific. When I first met Jeff, when I first became an alderman in the spring of 2019, my first interface was, do you remember Jeff? I know you got a lot of the brains.
I actually don't. So
I'm not offended. No, one of the first committees that Mayor Riley had assigned me to was the CDBG, the Community Development Block Grant Committee. And I remember being on there with Michael Curley, the county legislator.
Mike Crowley.
I called him Curley. Sorry, Mike, if you're listening. But I remember being impressed by your knowledge of how a federal program like that works, as well as your knowledge of the city's history and because some of those funds went, I think, towards Springs Era reclamations.
Yep.
As well as awnings for downtown, you know, frontage. So really accentuating the look and feel of the historic downtown.
Yeah, it's been CDBG, Community Development Block Grants have been a great thing for the city. When the Downtown Business Improvement District disbanded, we took over the facade and sign grants downtown, which every single year we're, issuing, usually between $40,000 and $50,000 in those grants. And a lot of the businesses you see downtown that have redone their exterior, putting up new signs, they're taking advantage of it.
Sure, sure. So, terrific. So, and then in the time we have left for our next break, it's about 2 minutes, right, Kelvin?
About 90 seconds.
About 90 seconds. Okay, perfect. So I get one of the, I guess, I told you I have one difficult question for you, and it's I believe it's the North Street Road construction, and there's been some criticism about that, and what are your thoughts, especially because we're moving from one way to two way, which I applaud.
Yeah. So we're on our we do downtown plans here every 15-20 years, and it's been identified to remove the one way streets downtown for the last two plans, and we've removed all of the one way streets except for St. Paul and North Street. It's been in the works for a while, but the idea is it's going to slow down traffic, which is good for businesses and safety, because right now North Street is just a thoroughfare to zoom through the city. People aren't slowing down. They're not.
Yeah.
You've got residential neighborhoods there that people are using as cut-throughs because of the one-way streets. Mm-hmm. So it'll reduce cars driving through the small residential neighborhood there between Barstow and I think it's Maria Street.
Sure.
So we just think it's going to be better for downtown. Again, it's been in the works for several years, and there's we think it'll once people get used to it, it'll definitely be better for downtown.
Yeah, I agree. Sounds terrific. All right, we're going to pay some more bills, but this week in Waukesha, we'll continue with senior planner Jeff Fortin from the city.
In the city, there's a thousand things I want to say to you.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe. New time, 3 to 6 p.m. and Dom.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
AP News.
I'm Ed Donahue. On Veterans Day, President Biden was away from home at the COP27 climate summit in Egypt.
America's veterans and their families, survivors and caregivers, are the very spine and soul of the United States.
With the president out of town, Vice President Kamala Harris laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns at Arlington National Cemetery. Her message to those in the military:
every day, through your life's work and your example, you make America stronger.
First Lady Jill Biden hosted a Veterans Day breakfast at the White House and announced new support for children who live with wounded service members and veterans. At the climate summit in Egypt, President Biden urged countries to double down on tackling climate change.
As the world's largest customer, with more than $650 billion in spending last year, the United States government is putting our money where our mouth is to strengthen accountability for climate risk and resilience.
The president says these clean energy initiatives will change the paradigm for the U.S. and the rest of the world. The Tennessee Valley Authority has proposed building a $216 million solar farm project in Kentucky atop a Cap coal ash storage pit at one of its coal-fired power plants. Sources tell the AP a top border official has been asked to resign because of the surging number of migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border. Russia relinquished its final foothold in a major city in southern Ukraine, Kherson, clearing the way for victorious Ukrainian forces to reclaim the country's only Russian-held provincial capital that could act as a springboard for further advances into occupied territory. Days after his team won the World Series, the Houston Astros announced general manager James Click is leaving. Manager Dusty Baker had announced earlier he was returning next season. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's the Mad City Bridal Expo, Sunday, November 20th at the DoubleTree Hotel on East Washington in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for free tickets at madcitybridalexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets also available at the door for just $10. Read all the details at madcitybridalexpo.com. Like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Bridal Expo, Sunday, November 20th at the DoubleTree in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
This Week in Waukesha, and that, of course, is my dearly departed friend, David Bowie, native of Brixton and Suffragette City, and always loved playing that song, and I made it a personal mission to really celebrate the life and legacy of Theodora Yeomans, and I didn't know, I had no idea who she was or her connection to Waukesha until my first term as alderman in September of 2019, which was the 100th anniversary of that, the ratification of that amendment that gave women the right to vote. And Wisconsin was the first state to ratify that because of Theodora Yeomans of Waukesha, former Freeman reporter, who was a president of the women's suffrage movement. And I'm here with Jeff Orton, senior planner. Jeff, is there ever any talk about doing more to celebrate that legacy or that history, or to even, you know, to kind of make that a tourist attraction in one way or another?
Not that I'm aware, but it's a great idea. Anything we can do that will, you know, I think us as a staff are always interested in new things that are going to draw people to Waukesha and new ways to celebrate, you know, different things that happen in Waukesha. I mean, there's a lot of historical events that happened here, and we're always trying to explore new ways to honor that. So I think, and that's also kind of an underutilized space over there. It's a really nice public space in a downtown. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for being such a small space, it's beautiful. They've got like the little greenhouse, and
yeah, it would be really nice to maybe program that park a little more so it gets used, especially you have the Avalon with, you know, several hundred people living in there. If you could bring them out there and have like maybe a little mini concert or something, just to kind of, it's a cool rest space for respite right in the heart of downtown. But I said, I don't see it used very much, and it could be used a lot more.
Could have our own mini Lilith Festival, right? Yeah. For Waukesha. Terrific. So, Jeff, you have 2 degrees from UWM, a graduate of Arrowhead. But you bleed black and red South now as a South parent. So I just want to make that clear for everyone out there. And you worked, you had some tours of duty with the city of Glendale. And then, and I forget the amount of time in that. And then later on, about 9 years with the city of Oak Creek before joining Waukesha. What was it like working for those other municipalities compared to Waukesha?
It was really neat because they were so different. Glendale is a fully built-out community. There weren't any places for new subdivisions. So pretty much everything we were doing there was focused on redevelopment, revitalizing neighborhoods, and just trying to convert old industry. We did a lot of brownfields work there, so converting old industry into new things. If you're north or south of Hampton, there's a huge industrial park there, and is the work of Dick Meslowski, the longtime city administrator there, who really led the charge in redeveloping that. And then after that, the focus shifted to kind of their border with the city of Milwaukee. There's some rundown stuff there. Mm-hmm. So then they revitalized that. So they're really big on that. And then the biggest project they probably did was Bayshore. I worked on kind of the beginning parts of that. I left before construction started, but we were there for the planning part of that because they saw Bayshore was declining, and they knew if they didn't do something, it was going to be this huge hole in the commercial center of the city.
Another one of those beat up strip malls, right?
Yeah. And then Oak Creek, totally different because it was a developing community, lots of farm fields and green space.
Right.
So while there was some redevelopment work there, it was mainly approving new things on green fields. So, just kind of working with a very fast growing community with a bit of a plan commission. It wasn't uncommon to have like 20 items on a plan commission meeting.
Wow.
And then there too, there's a redevelopment aspect, the Drexel Town Square, which is kind of their lifestyle center, working on the early stages of that there. So it was just two totally different experiences. And then it kind of helped in Waukesha because Waukesha has a bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of redevelopment, but there is not as much now, but when I started 10 years ago, there's still a lot of greenfield development that occur here.
Sure. Okay. Perfect. And then you came to Waukesha, and what's been unique about your experiences here?
Well, when I worked in Oak Creek, we'd actually already moved to Waukesha, so I was commuting. But we chose to live here. My wife grew up here, and just really liked the way the downtown was heading and the way the direction the city was heading. Maybe back in the 80s or 90s, if you decided to live in Waukesha, I was going to live in Waukesha, I probably would have said, no, probably not. But
sure.
So,
well, it was so different back then, too.
Yeah, it was.
Especially downtown.
We could see kind of the momentum happening downtown. It's not what it is today, but you could see things emerging, restaurants opening up. We like that. We have family nearby. So I was living here, and then I was on the redevelopment. Former Mayor Larry Nelson had me on an ad hoc baseball committee for Frame Park, and then that led into being on the redevelopment authority.
Okay.
And then, so I had relationships with city employees, and the position opened up, and I'm like, well, it'd be great to work for the city that I live in. So.
Oh, neat. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's great to hear. And you mentioned something earlier that I think is worth repeating, that Waukesha downtown has either zero or very few vacancies with the business district.
Yeah, it's we've been talking, you know, you have Berg Management, which owns quite a few. They said they have very few vacancies and things get filled. If you go down Main Street today, you won't see very many vacant storefronts. And if you do, chances are there's probably a business that's going to open up in there. So we've been really lucky to have... you know, when a space empties up, something will move into there. South Street and some of the other streets, there are a few vacancies, but not as much as there had been in years past.
Yeah, and you mentioned that there's some luck involved, but could you also take credit for that? The planning department, community development, playing a role in promoting downtown business. And
We try to tailor programs to attract downtown businesses, and we've had some. On Clinton Street, there is the Dreams Life Wellness, and there's a financial firm in there. Retirement Plan Solutions. They took a building that was probably the ugliest building in downtown Waukesha, used our facade grant.
Yeah.
Their realtor told them about our facade grant, and he had said, if you guys didn't have this financial assistance, we might not have been able to do this project. So they redid a building. Now it's very attractive. It's got two longstanding businesses in there.
Yeah.
So, we can't really get credit for all of it, but we do try to have programs that are going to help these startup businesses with their sign costs. We now have a loan program to help reactivate these storefronts.
Some good tools.
Yep.
So it's not an exaggeration or embellishment to say that you guys work to be a partner with downtown business as much as possible.
Yep. We try to work with the landlords too, helping them market spaces where possible. So.
And you serve on the city's and the Chamber of Commerce, or do you do that as a representative of the city? Or
a designee of the mayor on there.
Nice.
It just kind of has fallen on a department because we're the ones who kind of have the relationships with a lot of these businesses.
Sure. So yeah, I remember I used to be on the while I was alderman, the Waukesha Pewaukee Visitors Convention Bureau, and I know you've been working with them about promoting tourism and business meetings, events, trade events, and the like here in the area in Waukesha.
Yeah, they've been great about publicizing anything going on downtown. So they're very good at promoting downtown, and I think they use that a lot in their marketing materials because people are looking for unique experiences. And you know, when you have somebody come to town, you really want to kind of showcase your downtown. In the before COVID hit, leading up to the Democratic National Convention coming to Milwaukee, they had all kinds of different plans for downtown Waukesha and stuff. Obviously, that all fell by the wayside with COVID coming on, but we were meeting with them regularly to try to make sure that we put the best foot forward for that event and any other big conventions that are coming to town.
That's terrific. So now, what would you say has been your greatest accomplishment while working with the city or your departments?
If there's one greatest one, I think the big ones would probably be just working on revitalizing downtown. Starting with the implementation of our streetscape plan, you see all the new lights, pavers, signage, everything downtown. Working on that project, when I started here, the plans were already approved, but just kind of working on making sure that kind of implemented and kind of changing the face of downtown, like from a visual standpoint in the public realm, not so much in the business realm. Yeah. But I also say just the work we've done with affordable housing and revitalizing areas. You had the former YWCA site on West Avenue that the city took an active role in redeveloping and doing a mix of housing there from market rate to affordable.
Sure.
And then White Rock working with Habitat on, they've done, probably like over 10 houses on there, new houses, tore down old houses or rehab them.
That's right. I was on the council when they were talking about that. It was a closed session meeting, so I can't say too, but that area historically has always been blighted, and now there's a plan of attack there that's going to do some real tangible things for that block of neighborhood, if you will.
Yeah, they continue to do work there. They're doing like a little micro neighborhood with six units kind of tucked behind some of the houses there. We also have Bear Development, who redid for Carroll's Bowling Alley with 72 units of affordable housing, which has turned out to be a really nice project. So that White Rock corridor is really transformed. I mean, there's still some work to be done there, but it's really changed. If you wouldn't recognize it from like 10 years ago.
Sure. So, yeah, that's a good point. And you also mentioned Dunbar Oaks. Were you involved in that, or did that precede your...
I was involved because I was on the Redevelopment Authority at that time. Okay. I didn't work for the city, but I was a citizen appointee to that board. So I was kind of involved on that stage of it and planning on what the city was going to do. The Community Development Department at the time had kind of a vision, and the RDA endorsed the vision, kind of came up with the parameters on, because the city was the developer there. We were the ones selling the lots for a dollar.
Okay.
And then we had strict requirements on how the homes looked so they would fit in with the neighborhood. So, and then when I started there, I think there were maybe two or three houses built. So I kind of was the person going through and trying, reviewing and doing all the rest of it to complete it out. So, and then now we're kind of doing this similar thing with Aeroshade. We're not the developer, but it's on the east side of the city, and Habitat bought it, and they're doing, let's say it's 16 single family, two duplexes.
And you're looking to apply some of those same principles of new urbanism to that, like you did for Dunbar Oaks. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we actually used the Dunbar Oaks agreement as the template there.
Sure.
Now, it's a little different because Habitat's the developer.
Right.
But there was a previous developer, and we kind of put these restrictions. We want it to look like the old neighborhood. You can't have a garage in front of your house.
Yeah.
You have to have sidewalks leading up to your house. You have to have a front porch.
Sure.
Certain roof pitch, just to make sure that it looks like the neighborhood.
Yeah. And so just for everyone's benefit, when I say new urbanism, what that means is it's a movement that started in the 90s, but it's really taken off in recent years because it makes sense. So we're getting away from those suburban plots that would go in old, like prairies or swampland. And instead of the back porch, it's front porch. It's narrow driveways. It's smaller lots, common space like a park or a garden or both. Natural elements that prevent heavy traffic, like trees and bicycle racks and crosswalks. And it's close to a downtown area, but it's also known for its what's known as third place locality. So there's your home, and then there's your office. That third place is maybe it's your that gym where you work out at, or that coffee house you frequent. The place of worship maybe you go to, and so it's we are seeing some more of these new urbanism type of trends in downtown Waukesha. And is that fair for me to say and to hope for?
Yeah, and when we review a new development, so if you look on the north side of the river downtown where it's vacant for the most part, we have new developments coming there, and every single one of those we're pushing new urbanist concept. Build the building up instead of having a setback, building the building up to the street. So you're coming right off the sidewalk into the building, having higher densities. Having amenities within that, but just kind of making sure it still looks like a downtown. We don't want it to look like, you know,
you want a true neighborhood. People know each other better.
Right. I mean, we have apartments that are on the kind of fringes of the city, and they have a different look, and they should. In this case, we want it to look like a downtown, like it's part of the downtown fabric. So we've been really careful with all these developments that are coming in to make sure that they fit in with downtown.
Is it also fair to say that the builders and developers, actually love that because of some of the conveniences it brings them in the building process?
Yeah, I think for sure downtown we've never had any pushback on any of these things. We try to encourage, there's a new General Capital is doing a project down here. We really push them to have some retail space too. So you have that kind of mix of uses. So if you're adding, you know, almost 200 residential units,
sure.
there's a little commercial space. So you don't want to overdo it because you don't want to, you know, have empty spaces, but
sure.
Trying to strike that balance. And then we've had no problem with developers doing it. They like it because they're able to maximize the land they're purchasing, too.
Sure, sure. So in the less than 2 minutes we have before the next break, you made some really good points. We were talking about your resume, but a couple items of the resume that are really important here is your volunteer work, that you were on a committee for baseball for Frame Park, and then you were on another one for Dunbar Oaks. But those led to opportunities for you to work to continue your craft here in your hometown. And what I'm alluding to everyone is, okay, we were trying to get everyone out to vote, and we got a nice, good voter turnout in most areas of the state. But now the next thing is getting involved, serving on a committee, talking to your legislators. We have some elections coming up. We'll talk about this more after the break. But, Jeff, what would you say, how important is your advocacy and volunteer work served you in your professional career?
I think it's just kind of a nice way to, you know, get back to your community. With the ad hoc baseball, this was not the more recent baseball proposal, but we were working with the Northwoods League team, and they wanted just a group of non-elected people to study it. And I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. And we kind of did a lot of work. So sounds it was great. Really nice.
All right. Hey, don't go away. This Week in Waukesha continues with senior planner Jeff Fortin. Thank you.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Snow showers likely at times today, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 24. Winds out of the west, 15 to 20 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Chance of snow showers. Lows dip down to about 6 above. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 28. About an inch of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
This week, Walk Shot with senior planner Jeff Fortin. You're listening to one of my favorite bands from my post-college days, Poi Dog Pondering, and a very appropriate song, Thanksgiving. You'll hear it at the end of this show, but great tune. Everyone knows it to themselves to play a little Poi Dog Pondering in their life and learn some more. Anyway, before we went to the break, we were talking about the power of advocacy and volunteer service this city, and Jeff did a couple tours of duty that not only helped him launch his career with the city and continue his good work and planning, but also because he lives here, help improve the community around him. And Jeff mentioned the new Citizens Academy. Can you tell us about that the city launched?
Yeah. I'm not very involved with it, but what it is kind of headed up out of the mayor and city minister's office. They have a Citizens Academy. What they're doing is exposing, had people sign up, no cost, just sign up, and exposing people to all different aspects of government, be it, you know, talking to the police department. Our department did a presentation on development, just kind of showing people all the different things that government does. And I think the hope is these people, and from what I understand from the people that are going to these classes with them, that they're very engaged and they're very excited about learning more about government. So if we can spin that into people volunteering to be on boards and commissions, because we're always looking for people. And there's sometimes just specific roles, sometimes it's general roles. You don't need to have experience to do it. So
that's right. You know, I'm glad you reminded me, Jeff, because Mayor Sean Riley will be my guest on Saturday, December 3rd, before the upcoming Christmas Parade, which Walk Radio will be broadcasting. So we'll save some more questions on the Academy for Mayor Riley. Jeff, let's get, during the break, Jim Santel, who's involved, he's one of the, I guess, players, shall we say, in the Civic Theater. And he'd asked you about the city's efforts in supporting the major renovation they've been going through. And if you could talk about that. I think you mentioned the grant from the state that you helped with.
Yeah, so the State of Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation has these grants, community development investment grants, and it's up to $250,000. It's a match to help with big community building projects like this. And when the Civic Theater kind of talked about their project, we thought this would be a perfect fit for that grant. We had never done one before, and we worked with this theater to secure this grant, and it's really helped them cut into a little bit of their construction cost. We think one of the mottos of downtown is that the arts are important, and the Civic Theater is the core of the arts community downtown. They were here when a lot of these businesses weren't. They were here for several years. They believed in downtown, and they continue their presence down there. They could have easily packed up and moved somewhere else to have more space, but they thankfully stayed downtown. And the new space is going to be really a neat thing for Waukesha. You're going to be able to look in and see some performance parts.
And they kept some of the historic elements together, too, I understand, from the old theater.
Yeah, so the old theater, it's really just kind of expanding into a new space and then making that space more usable. And I think their idea is to have even more events, more music events, more plays and performances, because they're going to have extra space for that.
Sounds great. And hey, before I forget too, we have Thanksgiving around the corner. Anything that you're thankful for that you'd like to share with the world?
I guess just thankful for my family, very healthy. You know, thankful I get to work for a place like this that gets to actually, you know, you're doing a lot of really cool things to build the community up. So it's been a neat opportunity. Like, you're going to work and you know you're making Waukesha better. And since I live here, it's kind of a good thing. You know, and I guess that's probably a good summary.
Sounds great. Yeah. And then also, too, before I forget, as a South dad that you're You support the efforts of some of the families and the coaches to get Waukesha South football in a more equitable conference.
Yeah, I mean, my kids aren't in high school yet, but I've got one that plays basketball and soccer, and tennis, and then I got another one who just started in football this year in sixth grade. But I know a lot.
And they had that amazing season. I forgot he was part of that historic team, undefeated,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they did a really good season. For his first year never playing football, he had a good experience.
Great. What position does he play?
Usually plays second in the secondary safety.
Nice.
A little bit of wide receiver. Mainly, he just likes playing defense a lot.
Great.
He really likes football and sticking with it. And I know a lot of these parents, yourself included, that have kids in the actual high school program. One of my wife's good friends has a son on there. So just hearing from them and the coaches and people that I know have way more knowledge about it than me, I mean, it seems like a great idea. And you want these kids to be excited about, you know, playing on a team where they're competitive, and it's a, you know, there's, I don't know, I think it's a good idea, and I think they should listen to the parents and the coaches and the school that are saying this.
Sounds great. Yeah, I appreciate your input on that. I know you probably don't get asked about that, but now again, now you're connected to this historic team that you probably would be asked to weigh in on it more. What else? What haven't I not asked you about that you would like to share? Let's say I can't leave the show in the 5 minutes we have left without telling the people of Waukesha this.
That's a good question.
Weren't ready for that one.
No, not really. I don't know. I just think that the city's focus now with the service boundary. So Waukesha's focus now is really redevelopment, and that's kind of in my wheelhouse. That's what I really like working on. So I think we're going to see a lot more redevelopment. You look at the former Navistar property off on Perkins Avenue near downtown. They're tearing it down now. That's going to be a huge opportunity to reimagine that entire neighborhood. Those are the kind of projects that I think are really exciting just to, a lot of people see it as a downfall. Okay, we can't grow out anymore, but really it's going to help us grow inwards and, and add more value and think about the land use decisions we're making. Thinking in terms of what's going to add value, what's going to improve the neighborhoods, and how can we accommodate more residents. And then obviously affordable housing, it's a topic everywhere.
Yes.
I think our charge from the council on down is work on affordable housing. How can we better do affordable housing? So we've got...
And that's become a national issue.
Yep. And we've got some really good programs that the council has supported, to help existing affordable homeowners fix up their properties. But we also have a development fund, which is a way outside of tax incremental financing to help incentivize creation of more affordable housing units.
Right.
So we're just kind of getting started on that one, but it's really going to be hopefully a good tool to do smaller scale affordable housing developments in the city without having to use, low income tax credits or, tax incremental financing.
Sounds great. Terrific. And then, along the same lines, Calvin, how are we doing on time, sir? 1 minute. Okay, yeah. We'll table this for the next time, but we need to have you on the show more, Jack, because I know we just tapped the surface in terms of your knowledge of this city and your expertise in the area of planning and, what do we have to look forward to current projects that you'd want to shout out in the minute we have?
I think in the next couple of years, you're going to see downtown change even more with some of the residential developments we have. Senior housing planned for across the street from City Hall, a little over 100 units. General Capital on the riverfront with 184, 194 units in commercial space. And then we're continuing to talk to developers about other housing developments in the city. So I think you're going to see a lot of that. And I think with more residents, you're going to see more businesses, a more bigger variety of businesses.
Sounds great.
Downtown.
Jeff Orton, Senior Planner, thanks so much for joining us today. Wishing everyone a very happy Thanksgiving. And please don't forget, safety is everyone's responsibility. Bye for now and see ya!
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.